Beloved friends, we welcome you to the broadcast in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ as we continue on that subject which unfortunately seems to be the favorite occupation of the human race, and that is the subject of sin. What a small word, but beginning, if you will note it, with the hiss of the serpent in the letter S, ending with the letter N, which reminds us that sin profits nothing. And unfortunately, we recognize the personal pronoun I right in the middle of the word. How true it seems to be that the whole world at large is thrashing around in the ocean of sin. We have learned that God declares, and we should know it, that sin is a universal problem, but also, coming closer, it is an individual problem. While it is an impossibility to clear the universal problem, yet God today seeks to help individuals with this matter of sin. Now let us recapitulate our previous thoughts. First, we have learned that God condemns me, and justly so, for my sin. He has well declared that the soul that sinneth it shall die, and that the wages of sin is death, as God has written in Romans 6:23. Let us ask the question, what does death really mean, my friend? Please let me present it to you in three ways, as it is taught in the Word of God, emphasizing first that never does death mean cessation or ceasing to exist. Never. For the word always means separation. Now permit me to enumerate the three meanings very simply and clearly. There is what we know well to be physical death. This is probably a phase of death with which we are more familiar than the others. What happens at physical death? What takes place when the last breath has come and the body is lifeless? Is it not that the spirit and the soul have departed from the body? Remember that man is tripartite, spirit and soul and body, according to 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 23. My beloved friend, you and I are only living in these bodies of ours, the immaterial part unseen, but the real person is only temporarily living within the body. You may, like most, take the best of care to keep the body going, but let me remind you, not forever will you be able to do it. For it is appointed unto men once to die, according to Hebrews 9:27. And I dare you to find a way of escape from that inevitable end and that divine appointment. When physical death comes, that eternal part of the human being, the real personality, the spirit and the soul, depart into the unseen world, bound for eternity. Please remember the story that Jesus told of the rich man and Lazarus, the beggar. They both died, but their destinations were entirely different, as well as their condition. Lazarus, as we well know, was comforted. The rich man was tormented. Now we raise the question, will you ask it of yourself? What will your portion be when you leave here? Think it through, my beloved. You will not be able to go to two places, nor be in between two places. You either go up or you go down. You either go up to heaven or you go down to hell. There is no place in between, as some may think and some even falsely teach. Yes, physical death means the separation of the spirit and the soul from the body. The body goes to the grave. The spirit and the soul, conscious, is either to be blessed or to be doomed forever. Think it through, my beloved friend, and ask the question, where will I go when I die? But then there is also spiritual death revealed in the Word of God. This is now the condition of all who do not know the Lord Jesus as their Savior, and this was the condition of all believers before they were saved. Paul, writing in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, declares of his fellow believers, "You hath God quickened or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins." And to be spiritually dead is to be dead in sins. Toward God, lifeless, as Paul states again in Ephesians 2 verse 5, having no spiritual life Godward, a state of spiritual death in relation to God. May I remind you that when Adam sinned, he not only became subject to physical death, but immediately he became spiritually dead, separated in heart and soul from God. Why do you believe and think that Adam and Eve were hiding behind the trees in the garden when God came to them, and they, being afraid of God, were thus hiding? What had happened? Their sin had separated them. There came a moral distance between God and their souls that had never existed before. Why are so many people today living away, so far away in their heart and in their soul and in their life, away from God? It is the condition of their soul, spiritually dead, no life Godward. And it takes the power of God by His Spirit through the Word to awaken them. Ah, we must confess that millions upon the earth now are spiritually dead, for sin has separated them from God. And to be separated from God in heart and soul here on the earth is to be spiritually lifeless toward God. But then there is a greater, there is a more tragic phase of death, which can be and should be called eternal death, meaning eternal separation forever from God. To die in your sins will bring that. Listen to the words of the Lord Jesus. "If ye die in your sins," said he, "whither I go ye cannot come." John 8, verse 21. To go out of life unsaved, sins never having been forgiven, you take those sins with you. You are never able to be with Christ in heaven. There will be a final and an eternal separation from God through endless ages. Let me quote the words, solemn words, from Revelation chapter 20, verse 14 and 15. Listen to these words of the final judgment. "Death and Hades, the unseen world, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." That, my beloved, is the unfortunate but the eternal separation of souls that die without God and Christ, having rejected and spurned His blessed love, matchless grace, to bring them life eternal. But let me quote another scripture, just as solemn too. We have it in Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. "But the fearful, the unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the drug addicts, the idolaters, all liars, shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Please let me emphasize, this is not what some teach. It is not annihilation. "But with resurrected bodies, reunited to the soul and the spirit, for all eternity, to suffer the torment of their sins in punishment, forever and forever, according to Revelation 14 and verse 11. Now, beloved, please let me be very faithful. We've talked, we've indeed studied the great problem of sin. It's a universal problem, and it's an individual one. And we all before God have been and we are condemned, guilty before Him. How can that condemnation be lifted? Only God, in His grace, by His matchless love, through the coming of His Son into the world, has provided the way. But may I ask you, my dear friend, take in the eternal condemnation that sin in your life and my life deserves. In our next message, we shall begin to discover from the Word of God how great in mercy and love God provided a way to remove this eternal condemnation and penalty. And that done through Christ, His beloved Son. But I would like to leave a verse which may be necessary. I know not if you will be listening to the next message, but please let me give you a verse from the lips of the blessed Lord Jesus that gives the assurance, the condemnation for believing sinners can be lifted. John 5:24, the Lord Jesus saying, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but is passed from death unto life." Beloved, I hope you see in those words that if you will hear what God is saying through His Son, and if you will believe that God sent His only begotten Son into the world to die for your sins, you will receive now everlasting life. You will not come into judgment, but now be passed from death unto life. In other words, instead of being spiritually dead, you will be spiritually alive, with everlasting life your possession, through faith in God's precious word and His beloved Son and His redeeming sacrifice. Beloved and blessed Father, we commend and commit to Thee and to the Holy Spirit Thy word for its convicting grace and power to be effective in the hearts and lives of any listener without the Savior, that they may come to Him today. In Jesus' name, Amen.